Welcome back, interweb friends. Stop the movie, I want to get out. Hollywood makes bad movies. We make fun of them. I'm Alex Dunbar, here
Andy's,
with our especially gassy crew.
And he needs a vino.
Yeah. Yeah,
here with Thank God you can't smell in podcasts.
I'm here with Brian Muir, who's in real danger right now.
Yeah, I might move over a little bit to the other side.
A troubled Andy Wolf, who hopefully won't need a medical intervention during this podcast.
Low GI.
Andy might need to be talked through with the anti-venom that will need to stab into his heart.
We'll get him an inhaler. Cody Wolf.
I'm here. I swear to you, I'm here.
And Jack Estabrook.
I need you all to blink your eyes. Yeah.
Our movie this week is Back to M. Night Shyamalan, After Earth.
His I love how they didn't put his name on the marquee for this movie.
It was almost like they were in bed. It was like the studio knew. They were like, oh, just keep this
number
quiet.
Three. Yeah, it didn't come up till the end, too, did it?
No, it wasn't the end credits is the first time you see it.
Yeah.
Well,
I think the whole story.
We're going to get people in the theater paid in full before they know it's directed by M. Night Shyamalan.
Yeah, so at the end they can be like, hey, I know that guy.
That's why he did it again.
It's Shyamalan, you did it again.
It's like, Shyamalan.
You had your Admiral Akbar moment.
This is the third Shyamalan, right?
This is our fourth Shyamalan. Yeah, we've done Lady in the Water, The happening, and The Last Airbender.
Last Airbender, that's right. Yeah. But The Happening didn't deserve to be on the podcast.
The Happening more than met the criteria.
It most certainly did.
Let's move past that.
It most certainly did.
I like it.
Okay.
You must have loved this thing, because this is the sci-fi version of The Happening.
No way.
It even included
dramatic shots of plants eerily blowing.
This is like The Happening 2 1,000 years later.
No.
Yeah, this is like a Happening reboot.
This is really boring.
Actually, The Happening was more the prequel to After Earth, because the signs of what would happen.
Signs, get it?
Yeah.
Oh, that was good.
So, all right.
That's actually true when you think about it.
Yeah.
Like, all the things that happened, and then after Earth. It was all about the Earth revolting, and then everyone eventually left.
Yeah, this is what happens. Yeah.
This movie was revolting.
Because we start off, of course, with every Shyamalan movie now, with freaking exposition.
Yes.
And you got to pay attention.
The beginning was so strange. The beginning was like a montage of the movie.
Okay, now we're in a
opening of the film clearly establishes somewhat of a cool storyline.
The driest
read never
already heard, too.
Humans live on this planet where there are these monsters that can smell your pheromones. This order of soldiers was formed specifically to kill them.
First thing. They show like Will Smith doing breathing thing with the sun. It's like, why are you showing this stuff that's going to be in the movie later?
Like, just stick around. This is what you'll see in the future.
This is the one cool shot we have. If we show it to you now, we can also show it to you later. So it starts up with a lot of explanation that, you know, you get this line of like, I've heard stories about paradise until we destroyed it, and mankind had to evacuate Earth in shuttles 1,000 years earlier because, well, it's pretty heavy-handed. We also get like 30 seconds of an inconvenient truth where, even though we're getting narration from 1,000 years in the future, we're shown like 2013 shots of like smokestacks and and I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Like I get it.
And one shot was a tsunami. It's like, how do we cause a tsunami?
That's
our fault too now? Jesus. You can blame for everything.
Yeah, that so
this show just like the thunderstorm. Damn humans. By the way, Jaden Smith, like potentially the worst narrating job I've ever seen.
God.
Ever heard in a movie before.
It was the
before.
Most driest, worst narrating
it
I've ever
even
heard.
It was like the diction of it, I couldn't understand
his
some
cadence.
Of the things he was saying.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
We ruined our paradise.
But why didn't you understand?
We ruined paradise.
So they
left
Earth
the
and they found another planet.
Right? Yep.
And then
some alien race.
But the thing is, he says the aliens came up with something, but they're not the aliens.
Now, wait a minute.
The humans are the aliens.
We destroyed Earth, and then we invaded some other poor race's planet?
I think what they're saying is no. That's not what they're saying.
Close enough.
Okay.
Yeah.
They went
I
to this
trying,
planet.
I actually have to rewatch this to understand it. The Earth rebelled against the humans.
Right.
So everyone left. They found another planet they could inhabit.
Another unoccupied planet. Yeah.
And then once they got there, they lived there for a while, and then aliens brought these blind creatures to attack this
another race
planet
started
where they
attacking
are now.
The new the planet
from a different
from some other place.
Because they said aliens. I was like, well, you took over the planet. You're the alien, really. You're not the...
But no, they're...
But they're saying it was uninhabited. They were there, and then some other race came.
That, okay. Which, by the way, that all happened, I'm sure, in a much more interesting movie where that aliens, been a, aliens yeah. were attacked. Where you just Earth, saw that like, movie. Settlers were attacked by another alien race. Better movie. Yeah, we get glimpses of that better movie.
It's like the epilogue to a good movie.
Yeah. Yeah. This.
So the SOs, or what are they called?
The Ursas.
The Snarkers. The Snarkers.
Ursa.
Ursa.
Ursas.
Ursa.
Where do you get so snarker from?
Stupidly eating water.
Yeah. So those the are aliens. Snarks. The attacking aliens have these things they call an Ursa, which is like a monster.
A blind monster.
That smells your pheromones.
That can smell fear pheromones.
Okay.
Correct. And tracks smells people.
Smells your pheromones attracts females to men, too.
In theory.
Right? Don't you have like pheromone? Anyway.
Some men do.
The first thing I thought of was like,
yeah. I like that that's
ever, ever seen the
so
the
a bunch of horny creatures right? landed on the planet.
I like it that that's the first thing you
the
thought
idea
of.
Was the first thing that pheromones. Wait, I remember it. Well, I'm from the 70s.
That's really true.
I'm from the 70s. I'm here from the
70s. Pheromones were more popular.
I came here from the 70s.
So, okay. So these... The aliens, so then they moved off that planet?
No.
They stayed on that
planet. They stayed on that planet. Creatures yeah. that they the aliens
How did I not get any of this from this freaking
they have an on,
I was.
They have an ongoing conflict.
They have the Rangers.
Yeah, they have an ongoing conflict with this other alien race that attacks.
On the same planet.
On the same planet.
So maybe those aliens had to abandon their world. Again, their world rejected them.
No. Again, this is all like tidbits. We're like getting glimpses around the curtain of a much better movie that's going on.
It's like, wait, can we watch that?
Yeah.
Okay. So then we find out too. There's ghost people who can.
Well, no, there's not. Ghosts there's are, not control their fear. There's not ghost people.
There's ghosting.
Smith is not afraid of anything, right. and they can't smell or feel his pheromones, right. so he's able to walk invisible among them and kill all of them, right. and then he teaches all.
They
the
call
other
him the ghost. How that's to like do his that nickname. And ghosts. That's how they that's defeat they call the creatures.
It. Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah, and his son Jaden Smith. Wants to be, they're called Ranger. Will Smith is like the super Ranger.
Commanding Ranger.
And one more question, too, because I didn't understand this either. So in the time they're in now.
By the way, can I just note, this is amazing to me because this is the least ambitious, like, this is the most simplistic movie we've ever done in the show. I'm amazed that there's confusion.
Well,
no,
I am, because now the time they're in now, are the Ursas all dead?
No,
they're a constant threat, and the Rangers have to fight against
them. Calm down, okay? Just...
I don't understand this movie already. I didn't...
Yeah, they're a constant threat.
This pretty much has nothing to do with the Rangers.
They didn't show a constant threat.
They show, like, that's the reason they still have Rangers.
Well, the problem is they didn't establish anything.
And they basically tried to explain everything in a minute, but they did not show anything.
They tried to explain everything, and then they have Will Smith come in and try to establish the father-son characters, and they don't do that.
Right.
And then all of a sudden they're in space.
Well, okay. So
pretty much we can go from there.
Well, just to set up
well,
a little
no,
bit.
Then the ship blows up and they crash land.
Oh, yeah.
Let's start from there.
Well, hold on. Okay. So to set this up.
Things to talk about.
Okay. So Will Smith is like the super ranger. He has developed this ghosting skill where he's invisible to the Ursas, the aliens that smell the fear. Jaden Smith, his son, wants to be a ranger, but is not... I don't know, for reasons not explained in the movie, is not being accepted.
He said something like you failed in the field.
Yeah, like your test results are great, but in the field you always choke.
And, right.
Okay.
Because he also appears to be like 5 years younger than everyone else, too.
Yeah, I know.
And he runs faster than everybody,
too. Okay, overachiever.
Yeah, he looks really young. And he has this awkward, I just realized, how many movies have we done where the main character has an awkward relationship with his dad? That might be a recurring theme.
I didn't think about that.
That's always coming up. Yeah. Like, this is Cold Light of Day, Die Hard, like, whatever that Die Hard movie was we did.
Die Hard 4?
Yeah.
5.
Die Hard
4.
In Russia? I don't know.
Five,
whichever. I couldn't think of the name the other day. I said that to someone. I'm like, Die Hard in Russia.
Good day to watch a bad
night.
Die
Hard. Oh, that's it. Good day.
A good day to
good
Die
day,
Hard.
Good day to Die Hard. Okay. So we get weird flashbacks all the way through this movie, which is important to establish. Number one, I want to establish this now. This movie is not afraid to use flashbacks.
Oh, so
except when
like
they would be cool. It is afraid to
except
do flashbacks
when
they'd be cool.
Flashbacks have action scenes in them.
Yeah, and we get a flashback of like Will Smith's. There's also and Jaden Smith had a sister, who you understand died, although that's not really fully explained.
Can we talk about this flashback later at some point where the guys in the background, the Rangers in the background are encamped, are obviously dummies, or it's a freeze frame because they're not moving at all? Did anybody else catch that?
Yeah. Yeah,
it's a very minor scene, so I may as well just mention it now.
Well, you just kind of see that, like, Will Smith is sort of like, you get a bunch of, just to play up the point of, like, Will Smith is sort of, like, emotionally detached and not really, you know, in touch with his family.
And Jaden really wants to impress him. Like, he really, really wants to be a Ranger, which is why he's upset. His father's returning home from somewhere.
Yeah.
And he wants to be a Ranger, and he's trying to convince the Academy Dean, I guess.
He's trying
Please
to,
give me another chance.
He's trying
make
to
me
accept
a Ranger.
The Top Gun school to make him a Ranger.
Yep.
Can we reenact the scene where Jaden Smith wants to leave the dinner table?
Oh, sure. Which one do you want to be?
Can I please be Will Smith?
Okay, you can be Will Smith. All right. So, you know, basically Jaden Smith's at dinner and he's like, Dad, they didn't, or I can't even do his accent. He's like, Dad, I didn't make Ranger. And, I'm going to go to my room.
Is that a demand?
May I go to my room, sir?
Dad! Sit down! Sit your ass down!
It was really... Things escalated
really quickly.
Really quickly. Yeah.
I'm like, you could have just said, no.
Yeah.
Sit back down, please.
Yeah.
5 minutes.
Yeah.
No. Dinner! Like something you would say when you, like, block someone's shot in, like, a pickup basketball game.
Yeah. And we also, like, they really played up, like, that Will Smith is just, like, emotionally, like, or just is a jerk. Like, do you remember the flashback of where he gives his wife a necklace?
Yeah.
Do you remember this? So, if you watch the wife's reaction...
That like, wasn't a flashback.
She's like,
no,
it was a...
That happened that night.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, that happens that night.
Yeah, so after dinner.
She acts like she's so scared.
She's terrified. She's legitimately terrified. He's like, maybe he's going to strangle her.
It's like, oh, apparently when his hands go near her neck.
Yeah.
I've also noticed the trend in this movie where no one does anything that they're told to do in this movie. Starting with Will Smith.
Right.
Yeah.
When they're talking and she's like, he doesn't need a commanding officer. He needs a father. And he's like, okay. So what does he do? He goes to his son's room. He's clearly conflicted. He's like, pack your bags. We're gone.
I know. Yeah. I thought for sure he'd be like, son. You know?
Yeah, I thought there was going to be kind of that tender moment.
Yeah, yeah. Pack your bags. We're going to Alfred Fruck or whatever hell it was.
You're coming with me.
Because the main plot of the movie is Will Smith has to go on some kind of routine mission. And he's like, okay, they have to just drop some supplies off. And he's like, son, you know, why don't you come with me?
But he doesn't even say a tender like that.
No, he doesn't say it.
You're coming with me. Pack your bags.
Yeah. He says it in a much jerkier way.
Yes.
And also, we find out on this mission is they have an Ursa. It's like in a cage.
It looks more like a giant walnut.
Yeah, it's in a cage. It looks like a big walnut. And I think they're bringing it with them because they're delivering it for like training exercises somewhere.
Teach people to ghost. Teach me how to ghost. Everybody ghost.
Yeah, but they did. This has all happened within the first 4 minutes of the movie. I mean, they don't establish hardly any relationship. They try to establish it with these quick little things like sit down and pack your bags. But it doesn't really...
But this is one of the things that I found fascinating about this movie right up to the end is this is the least ambitious movie like I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah. I think
the bar is set so low. Like, there are Hallmark Hall of Fame movies that are less predictable than this. Will Smith is a controlling, emotionally detached dad. Jaden Smith has trouble overcoming fear and can't advance in his life. Okay, so what's probably going to happen is Jaden Smith's going to learn to overcome his fear, save his dad. He'll get his dad's respect.
Right.
And that's exactly, like, it plays out just like that. There's no, it could not be this be more predictable and simple. This
is the most simplistic story.
They even went through,
and not in a good way. I'm not saying
that
in a good way.
They even went through a scene after the crash scene calculating the predictability of the survival of the Ursa, and they made sure to say that the Ursa's survival was the least predictable. It was the least predictable of that, the least chances. And I was like, yeah, so the Ursa is alive then.
Yeah, everything. Yeah. Well, there's. We'll get into that.
I think
like,
that Will
yeah,
Smith.
Yeah, that's jumping ahead.
I think Will Smith said, listen, Em, I want to do this movie, but I want to sit down for 3/4 of it.
Actually, what happened was.
Okay, I want to. really test backing skills and just sit down for 3/4 of it, because all you did was sit there.
Pretty much this was a Will Smith movie and they hired M. Night Shyamalan to make it. So
he My question with this is,
I understand the plot was like, all right, it's about the kid and he has to grow and learn and kind of break out of his father's shadow and everything. But you have Will Smith, who arguably is the most bankable action star in the world in the past 10 years. Yeah. So you get him for a movie. Why do you relegate him to sitting in a chair for 90% of the movie?
Right. Right. There are so many choices during this where I feel like M. Night Shyamalan and Will Smith, and this will come up like from multiple things, that they sat around and were like, you know what people are going to expect us to do? Like, or you know what like people's perceived notions of how we would make a movie are? No, we're not going to do that. Like, we're not going to have Will Smith be the action lead. He's going to be asleep most of the movie. Yeah. And
I think what happened was he decided to make a movie as a vehicle for his son.
Right.
Decided to act in it so it would make money.
That's what I was going
to
say.
People would see it.
I think there's an interesting duality here, because the film is about a controlling father who's pushing his son to fight through a wilderness to save his life, and in real life it was Will Smith forcing his son into the spotlight to be the star of a movie.
He's putting himself in the movie to overshadow
his own son.
Well, I wonder if those early scenes are a glimpse into what life in the Smith household is like.
Well, the problem too is though is that it's a vehicle for his son, but his son's not old enough to play this part.
Right.
He's like, looks like he's 14.
This should be like a college age, like a young cadet type.
No, I'm trying to become my own.
It's like, no wonder he's scared. He's like a young teenager.
Yeah.
He thinks that like 40-year-old guys are doing.
Right. If you're overshadowed by your father, like Cody is, you're like at 20 or so, you start to rebel. Yeah. And you start to be like, I'm my own, right?
Yeah.
You mean he doesn't model you? Yeah. When you get older.
Don't people in this industry meet you and say, aren't you Cody's father? I'm just saying that.
Cody's in the podcast. It's like, can I go to the bathroom? Don't I?
But it's simplistic in a bad way. There is no.
Yeah. Oh, it's awful.
It's stagnant. Like this movie could
have
been.
The shooting style is simplistic and stagnant.
The storytelling is simple. The acting is wooden and basic. Yep.
Very robotic. This whole movie to me felt like the B or C plot from an hour long TV show. Like where you're in a procedural where you're like, oh, you can kind of see what it is, and you're like, oh, okay, that's going to be the B plot that they just go to every once in a while, and it's kind of predictable, and that's probably how it'll turn out, and it does turn out that way. This did not feel like an A plot to me, like a rejected. And I also kept having the feeling that I was watching cutscenes from a video game. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, they were probably like jumping adventures with Jaden Smith, and we were just seeing those like poorly written video game cutscenes.
Yeah. Poorly acted,
Yeah. Okay,
so they're on a ship. They're transporting an Ursa, and Jaden Smith wants to check it out. He's curious, and he walks up to the giant walnut. Some guy in a bizarre accent. I don't know if it was Russian or German or French or what.
What do you think it was, Andy? I always like to get Andy's opinion on accents.
I think it was Romanian.
I felt like they were trying to do something smart, but it came across as dumb. Like they were trying to like invent a new accent or something, but it just came across as stupid to me. Like how that guy was speaking.
Example number two of people not doing what they're told. He's like that, whatever, the Romanian guy's like berating Jaden Smith, being like, what are you doing down here and all this stuff? And then one of the guys is like, that's like the commanding officer's son. Like he could basically have you killed. And he proceeds to completely mentally abuse him after that.
What's the smartest thing to do? That guy should feel lucky an asteroid was about to hit the ship. He was going to be in a lot of trouble, I think, if he didn't.
Did anyone? Did this scene remind anyone else of another scene in a movie that we've done?
I don't know which one.
What's in the cage?
Oh, yeah,
shark or something.
That's true, because you know, Jaden Smith kind of walks up to the outside of the Ursa, and they're like, "Well, if you get this close, it's gonna, you know, if you are ghosting, you're gonna be okay. But if you're not, it's gonna sense your fear." And
of course, it senses.
And then the guy basically makes Jaden Smith might have been okay if it wasn't for the asshole guy saying like. First, when you get scared, it releases a pheromone. You can feel your heart start to beat a little faster.
This is the first time in the movie that characters provide play-by-play for other characters. Like, doing, like, color commentary on things that they're watching.
The guy's like, dude, yeah, that's the commanding officer's son, like I just told you.
Yeah.
You probably don't want to be doing that to him.
And they're saying things like it's golf. He's like, the pheromones are in the air. You're like, dude, I'm
and
shut
the pheromones
up.
Are on.
Yeah, shut up. You're starting to sweat a little bit. The kid's looking at it. Like, shut up, I'm right here.
It reminded me of the scene in Airplane when after Captain Ober has the fish, and then Leslie Nielsen is describing the effects of what happens. Like, yeah. You'll start to sweat a little bit. Then comes the uncontrollable flagellants. Like,
yeah. And meanwhile, so the ship is just going through the galaxy. Nothing's going on. Will Smith wakes up.
He's got a power ring.
What?
Doesn't he have, like, have a ring or something?
He has, like, the Green Lantern.
No, it's up to the side of the ship.
He's got, like, a little device for...
That was
for
a power
he
ring.
He just wakes up. He has
holds
this
it up
little,
against, like, this small, honeycomb of weirdness.
Like, this little tool. He holds it up to the side of the ship and listens to it for a little bit.
And that tells him something.
That tells him something. So
what does it tell him?
And so Will Smith then goes to the cockpit, and he's like, "Hey, I think an asteroid storm is coming." And the pilots are like, "No, looks good." And Will Smith's like, "Well, I held this tiny device up to the hull of the ship, and I picked up vibrations, so I think an asteroid storm is coming." And they're like, No, it's all clear, sir. Everything's good. And I just want to establish there's apparently no radar in this world.
Right.
Until there is radar later on. But there is apparently no radar.
And then doesn't at one point he say, like, yeah, it's a million to one shot. Or something
says,
like that.
I don't. He says something about something. Yeah, this whole
part. I'm like, wait,
this
what?
Makes no
sense. This part confused me.
So yeah, Will Smith holding up a tiny tool to the hull just of his own, I don't know, like ESP, predicted an asteroid storm that this entire ship cannot, and then they apparently this spaceship cannot see an asteroid field approaching until it's 2 feet in front of them.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
It's about to hit them, and they're like, whoa, there are asteroids. And
you're right, Commander.
We now get the least exciting asteroid field scene anyone could ever imagine. If you've seen Empire Strikes Back, this
yeah.
is how to not do that scene.
Yeah.
It would be like if you were spending the scene from Empire Strikes Back, but you spent it all from like R2-D2's perspective, and you didn't see anything that
it's
was actually
like
going
on. It's
like
a Star Trek episode where they're just tilting the camera.
Yeah.
Does that ship not able to go in reverse? Like, why couldn't they just be like, oh, asteroids ahead? Beep.
They just...
Or they could go up.
Like, that's why they call it space. There's a lot of space.
And then
you can just go around it.
Yeah.
And they start to introduce challenges that are not challenges, because Will Smith's character is like, all right, go to hyperspace. And then the pilots are like, sure, we can't go to hyperspace. And Will Smith's like, we have to go to hyperspace. It's our only chance. So they're like, and they play this up like it's this big thing. And then they just.
Yeah, that's an order.
That's an order. Do it. And then they just do it.
Yeah.
It wasn't possible until you said it was an order.
And then they're fine. And then they're like, okay.
That's an order.
Storm. Yeah.
That was an order.
And I'm like, what? Why did you play this up as, I don't understand. Like, it didn't make any sense.
No, I guess.
They still got hit by the asteroids.
Well, they had more, they had damage after the storm, right?
Apparently the damage from being hit, because then everything seems to be all calm and you're like, oh, things are good. Then the ship starts breaking apart.
Yeah.
Like then, like as everyone's like casually sitting there, then they're like the announcement comes out, like, oh, it's, you know, freaking out. And
you know that asteroid field we just went through that we escaped. It didn't go as well as we planned.
Yeah,
get your oxygen suits on.
Yeah,
probably
field that hit us like 15 minutes ago. Well, now we're about to break apart.
It was kind of, it reminded me of the Titanic. Like in the Titanic, when it hits the iceberg, everyone's like, okay, we're all right. And like, maybe not.
Yeah.
Now we're going under. So the ship is falling apart. It breaks. You get the one cool shot of the movie, which if you saw a trailer for this film,
you've
probably
seen this
saw
85 it times.
A thousand times where like Will Smith and Jaden Smith are talking and he gets kind of like sucked down like the hallway. By the way, Will Smith should be 100% dead.
Also, we should say you see that shot twice
near...
in this movie. Cause that was a shot they showed earlier.
Yes.
That's a shot they showed
in this movie.
Yeah.
Well, no, because you also get the shot of Jaden Smith wearing a suit when it's colored pink lying on the jungle floor.
Yeah, they did, yeah.
They're implying that the first half of the film is a flashback from that moment, yet when we reach that moment in the film, it's not a flashback anymore.
Right.
Well, I think the flashback is to when he gets poisoned, right?
Yeah, but there's no reason why they did that. Yeah. I don't, whatever.
Who knows?
And his suit turns pink.
So the ship crashes.
Pink for poison.
And it's, like, you're in kind of this wreckage, and Jaden Smith is okay. He's going through the wreckage of their part of the ship. It looks like everyone's dead.
It's some weird cellophane. Weird shower curtain.
Yeah, shower curtain.
What was that?
Yeah. Like
what's the point of that?
I don't know.
Everything is literally wrapped in saran wrap. Yeah, literally. They wrapped it in saran wrap.
Oh my god, the ship is crashed. My god, the screen door is malfunctioning.
I think it was supposed to scale.
Things weren't bad enough.
It had to close for the oxygen.
Yeah, I think it was like a seal.
Yeah, I think it was like a seal. So then he went over and pushed the body. At the time, I'm like, what?
Yeah.
And then he pushed the body and it closed. And it's like, oh, okay. They didn't need
that. Well, thank God that.
You didn't need that. Yeah, you know, it could have been like, whatever.
It was kind of dumb.
Yeah, it wasn't necessary.
Kind of dumb.
So everyone seemingly is dead except for Jaden Smith. Smiths. And Will Smith is alive but badly injured.
His legs are broken.
His legs are broken. And Will Smith is like, okay, we need to get this emergency beacon. And right about now, this is where like the real I don't think M. Night Shyamalan wrote the script, but some real like M. Night Shyamalan like unnecessary like script tools come in where the movie just starts getting really stupid. So they, by the way, the ship is trashed. Everything is trashed, except the things that aren't trashed, which seem to be working fine.
Right, right. The power is good. All the displays.
Oh, the computer is great.
Computer's fantastic.
The computer is great.
It's never been better.
So Will Smith's like, okay, you need to get our emergency beacon. And let's talk about this for a second.
The computer's like, asteroid field approaching. Like, damn it.
Yeah. Because if it's an emergency beacon, you got to figure, if you're going to be using it, it's probably because your ship crashed or something bad happened, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, Jaden Smith goes up, opens the cabinet, pulls it out. Emergency beacon appears to be made of glass and is shattered and broken. And I'm like, really? Everything else is working. The computer is fine. All of the computers are fine.
All their emergency supplies are untampered.
Are untampered, but the emergency beacon is the one thing not working.
Yeah.
And I'm
when
like,
you know it.
And this is where I'm like, this is stupid. Why did you even have to establish this emergency beacon? Why didn't they just say, hey, the emergency beacon's kept in the tail section. We got to get to it.
Right.
Like, you didn't
to. Yeah, why is the emergency beacon not like in a black box, like in an airplane?
Why doesn't it automatically?
Right. This felt like a bad studio note. Like, someone was like, we need to visually establish the emergency beacon early on. Right. Like, they couldn't just, because if they just said, like, oh, the emergency beacon's in the tail section, we got to get to the tail, I would be like, oh, that's fine.
Same thing, yeah.
Yeah, that's fine. Whatever. Like, why are you, you know, but you have to set up this stupidity of showing us a broken beacon. You know,
well, in this scene too, where he's telling him, right? He's like telling him about Earth or whatever, and like there's creatures out there who are
evolved to kill humans.
Yeah, everything on this planet has evolved to kill humans. Really?
Yeah.
Like, I was like,
and even though there's no humans on the planet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he goes, do you know where we are? And I wanted him so badly to go, welcome to Earth.
I know, I was saying it too. Yeah.
Actually, I wanted him to punch his son in the face and be like, welcome to Earth.
I made that comment too. I was like, why didn't they say that? That would have been awesome.
That would have been. It would have been.
And among other things that are not broken, dozens of small flying cameras that they send out to, like, you know, look for the Ursa and, like, look out at what's going on.
Because the Ursa may or may not have escaped.
Dozens of self-powered flying cameras. Those are fine. Like, it looks like about 20 computer monitors. Those are fine.
Yeah.
Those are good.
Saying all the displays are working.
Yeah.
Everything's good.
Yeah, everything's good.
Yeah.
Just got all,
And then, and we'll talk about this.
So now they established, Jaden Smith has now got to suit up.
Yes.
And get all his supplies, including these little breathing capsules that he's got to breathe in because the atmosphere is unbreathable, I guess. And they talk an awful lot about these capsules throughout the movie, but there's really no point to them.
Only the one point.
Well, it's another challenge that the movie kind of sets up and then doesn't really deliver on. Because they set it up as like, oh, if you don't have these breathing capsules,
like, is he going to have to use something in his environment to try to supplement that?
Well, they do establish why they do.
I don't know where you're going with that.
They do.
Andy's having a stroke right now.
Clearly they don't.
I think Andy just had a stroke.
They do come around to that and show a reason why they established that.
Yeah, but there's no reason to have established it in the first place.
But even that is handled so poorly. Yeah. Like, I know, we'll talk about that when we get to it, but that's handled so badly.
That's why they established the breathing thing.
Yeah, I mean, it was the driving thing for a seminal moment in the movie.
Yeah.
Oh, well, so they get this thing where he's got to have these inhalers.
He's got food, he's got medical supplies, he finally gets to hold his father's weapon, which is this bizarre thing where it has these shape-shifting blades.
Don't they have, like, a freaking...
It's like
no guns,
photon gun,
or
no
like
guns,
lasers, or something.
Oh no! Technology is very convenient. They have dozens of flying cameras that can go out
and
track everything.
They can deep space travel.
Yeah, they can do. They can go to light speed, but they don't have guns.
They got a sword. Yeah.
Yeah. This, by the way, this whole movie with its environmental message and a lot of these other things, I'm like, you know, because sometimes you hear people like, "Oh, Hollywood, it's so liberal," and you want to be like, "No, it is not." Oh yeah, actually.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah. this movie is pretty over the top. All right, so he's going out, and then they also set up this other weird challenge where Will Smith is like, the temperature varies dramatically, and at night
that doesn't come
at night it drops to like the temperature will drop to such and such. And you
negative
have to find
or
something. Or yeah, like below freezing, you have to find one of these hot spots every night. Just a pointless...
Is that like a Wi-Fi station?
Yeah.
And how they know about that, anyway? They haven't been on the Earth in how long?
Knows everything.
Well, I think... Well, again, because
they study the Earth?
No, because the magic computer... The computer, which
somehow
even though, the beacon was damaged beyond repair, all the computers took this massive impact and are totally fine.
And they're
like
reading the environment, and they know how the environment is.
I like how everything's remote controlled. Like, the beacon has the power to send out a signal through billions of miles in deep space, yet there's no button that they can just push to activate the beacon from the remote.
It's a handheld device.
A handheld device made of glass, primarily of glass. So he goes out, and you kind of, as if this movie isn't basic and simplistic enough, Will Smith is like, in case you're dumb and in the audience, he's like, "You've got to find that other beacon or we'll die." And it's like, okay, we get it. We get it.
Buzz Grace is like, repeat that.
I get it. That's all your movie is. Okay.
So the son has to repeat it. Like, he didn't understand those seven words the first time.
Yeah. So dumb. And so Jaden Smith heads out into this jungle-like environment. Will Smith is now seated for the rest of the movie.
Yeah.
Will Smith has not moved from that position.
We already went past this, but I do want to talk about this one weird scene very early in the movie. We see a flashback where before Jaden Smith and Will Smith get on the spaceship, this officer in a wheelchair comes up to Will Smith.
Yeah. Well, that wasn't a flashback.
It was a flashback. No,
that was happening right before.
I guess it's a flashback. Yeah, that's
everything's
a flashback.
It happens before the poison scene, therefore it is a flashback.
So a guy
it's a flashback from where we are now.
That's true. When they're about to go on the trip, this guy in a wheelchair comes up to Will Smith and is just like, "Sir, you saved my life. Thank you so much."
Leg, you asshole.
Well, and he's in a wheelchair, and he's these other guys lift him up and say, "Just give him a salute."
Yeah,
and I'm like,
"Stand me up, yeah."
And I'm looking at this scene, and I'm like, "What?"
Well, it's a good callback.
But I didn't. I'm like,
"No,
what?"
No, yeah.
Because
fine,
all of the information in this scene, we've already established Will Smith's a super soldier. We've already established Will Smith's the best there is. We've already established that Jaden Smith knows his dad is the best there is. So I'm like, why is it? I'm watching the scene mystified. I'm like, why are you including this scene? When they call back to it later, I was like, Hulk smash. You have got to be kidding me. That was for a callback?
Yeah.
I was actually more on board with that scene when I originally thought the purpose was to show maybe he's more sympathetic and has a better relationship with his fellow soldiers than he does his own son.
Smith is like,
just a callback.
It's the most obscure and weird callback that you could imagine in a film. All right, so Jaden Smith is now he's out
around
in the jungle, and we do now start getting these weird
encounters. Some baboons,
some CGI baboons.
Yes, he finds baboons,
and once again, doesn't follow.
Yeah, he tells him exactly what he does.
All he has to do is just stand there and do nothing, and he proceeds to throw a rock at the
baboon. He throws a rock at a baboon's face. Of course these
apes get angry. Before the baboons, though. We were talking about this earlier. He's wearing this smart fabric suit.
Ah, yes. And my favorite line in the whole movie.
His his suit all of a sudden turns black, and he goes, "Dad, my suit turned black. I like it, but I think something bad's gonna happen."
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Why did it turn black?
Oh, it's a mood suit. Fabric.
It's a mood suit.
I don't know. It's like,
I'm feeling down.
Like, I like it, but I think it means.
You know what?
Bad.
I know this suit looks cool right now, and I want to acknowledge that. I like the fact that this thing is changing color. I'm not bitching, really. I appreciate the suit you gave me, but I think it's telling me something's wrong.
So what is the suit like a giant mood ring?
I think so.
What is going on with
The happening?
Senses.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, that's another
happening callback.
Yeah. Oh, senses danger and towards it.
See, this movie really is like the deep, deep, deep sequel
and
to
when
The Happening.
Cool. Remember when he was cold, it turned blue.
It turned
and
white.
When he got poisoned,
it
turned pink.
Blue. Yeah. Like white and blue, yeah.
When he got,
yeah.
when he got poisoned, it turned pink.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And normally it's brown.
And by the way, they also establish at this point, because Will Smith is sitting back in the spaceship tracking everything Jaden Smith does. By the way, they do have radar. He is tracking everything Jaden Smith does on the planet via radar. So they have radar, just not on their spaceships. He can track a rock that's 5 feet from Jaden Smith running around, but not one that's flying at their ship. Right.
About the size of a city.
Yeah.
What? Where is the camera that he was seeing everything from?
They sent out the probes. And I think
he sees everything that Jaden
Smith.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's in the tear shaped backpack.
It's in the backpack.
Yeah, backpack
so he can see what Jaden Smith is seeing behind.
Yes.
He gets yes.
Yeah.
Yet there are times when he sees his face.
But there's other times when you see forward, because you see like his hands doing.
I think they establish this, like everything in this movie, very stupidly, that it's like an iPod that has like a front facing, back facing. Like I think there's one on his wrist. I think he's like covered in camera. Like Will Smith is essentially like a multi-cam director.
Because I noticed in the one scene where he first puts the suit on when they're both in the ship. He's like, "You see everything I see." But Jaden Smith has his back to Will Smith, but on the screen, it's Will Smith's face.
Right, yeah.
I'm like, well, you're not seeing everything you've seen.
I think
you're not
Will
looking.
Smith even says, like, I can see more.
Behind,
I can see behind you.
Right, yeah,
like,
he says that.
I can see what you see. Yeah, I can see what you see and things you won't see or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's creepy.
Which,
again, another thing that's sort of established and then instantly not important. Very quickly... Not relevant.
Yeah.
Right. Not. In fact, you could argue never relevant. You could argue that the cameras are never really, except for one stupid scene that made me also want to smash a TV.
So he runs away from the baboons, and then he has to breathe in one of his gel inhalers.
Yeah, and there is, by the way, there is no way he's outrunning those.
That chase scene was ridiculous. Like the things are like outrunning him on the sides. But then they never just, like, cut into him to attack him.
Yeah.
It's like a 100-meter dash.
Then he gets in the water, and they didn't get in the water with him.
Well, apes can't swim.
Apparently can't swim.
Right, so
I guess they haven't evolved to the point where
they have been genetically
swim.
Engineered to kill humans unless they go in the
water. Actually, I think in real life,
no
apes
swimming.
Can't swim.
Okay.
I think their muscle. I honestly think that's a true fact.
Okay.
But he gets a giant leech on him or something.
He gets a leech on his hand. When he goes to breathe in his breathing pack, he sees a leech on his hand, and his dad knows everything about this leech. Like, everything.
Yep.
Like he's the encyclopedia of evolved life forms on a planet that he's never been on.
And it was parallel to this is the flashback storyline of we're seeing about that basically deals with Jaden Smith's sister. And did anybody catch the really weird like penis joke?
What?
It's in this movie.
Oh yeah.
It's really weird.
I thought that was with Moby Dick.
Yeah,
there was something. What was it?
I remember they mentioned Moby Dick.
He was talking about.
Oh,
she was like,
yeah,
this my boyfriend, or whatever. Like, let me Moby Dick, and I'm reading it now.
No, she goes.
He said I could hold on to it.
Yeah, yeah.
And
he said, hold
like,
on to what?
What?
Yeah.
Like
and
the
she's
book.
Like, the book. Yeah, and I'm like, whoa. Whoa.
Like, did Will Smith just make a penis joke with his daughter?
Yeah, I'm like, what? Yeah, like, whatever was going on there, it was bad news.
Because the way the lines were, if he hadn't have said that, I don't think anyone would have been like, oh, that kind of sounds like he's saying he's going to hold on to his dick because she said Moby. No, it wasn't really like that at all.
Yeah, that was weird. And you just kind of, we keep flashing back to this, we're getting snippets of when Will Smith's daughter, Jaden Smith's sister, was killed by an Ursa, that there was some kind of attack in their apartment. And I think at this point in the story, all we know is that the sister was killed by the Ursa and that Jaden, a very, very young Jaden Smith.
Did nothing
looks to be about,
like
I don't
five.
Know. Like 5 years old. And he was kind of hiding in a...
glass bubble.
Like a glass, like terrarium. Like,
that's just a bubble.
Which also I want this question answered too. It's like a I don't know if this is flashback, but they basically established that when Will Smith is in this little glass thing, the creatures can't
smell.
Jaden Smith is in this glass bubble, that the creatures can't smell fear.
Right.
Why didn't everyone just get in these things when they came? Then the creatures would have landed, not smelled anything, and been like, okay, guess we'll see you later.
Just make like clothes and suits out of that material. And...
Like, that's the easy way to defeat these things.
Right? Yeah, I know. Yeah. Why don't they have their suits have just like, their houses like, out like,
of or
like
why don't they have
block.
The little bubbles and then they can like have like little sniper holes in there and just shoot them from
They don't have guns, that's why.
Oh, yeah, that's
they
true.
Get close enough for a container.
Yeah, only. To... Yeah, it's technology beyond them.
They do have 3D radar computer mapping, but no guns.
No guns.
No guns.
No guns.
Guns kill people.
They do.
That's right. So. Yeah.
You know what?
Yeah,
you know what also kills people? Freaking huge swords.
Yeah. And how did? Okay. So at this point, Jaden Smith realizes that he's got 4 inhalers and 2 of them are broken. And
so
how did 2? Do we know how 2 got broken? I may have missed
this. Just in the chase of the baboons.
Yeah, it's in the chase, I guess.
Okay.
He opens it up and Will Smith says, "I want an equipment check." And he says, "Okay, medikit check. You know, food packs 22." Breathing packs, and he looks down. Breathing packs. 4 breathing packs, and he's got like 2 of them.
Yeah.
Now, this is where I thought that he was going to run out of his breathing packs, and then he was going to be forced to use his environment and improve as a character.
Nope,
to do some, like, yeah, survival
that's
stuff.
That's just the challenge that you think the movie's setting you up for. But no, it's even more simplistic than that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. And then and then he keeps going.
Well, we get what I...
Oh, no, because he gets poisoned. No, that's... I'm sorry, we forgot. He has to inject himself.
Yeah.
He has to inject himself in the heart with a stimulant.
James Bond Casino Royale.
That's what I was thinking when I was watching it,
Because he's been poisoned, so he has to stab himself. I was thinking more like Nicolas Cage in The Rock, but, you know, just...
Or the guy in Pulp Fiction, or Uma Thurman in Pulp Fiction.
Yeah, there you go.
So many different...
So he has to stab himself in the chest. He doesn't want to do it, so his dad says, then just fall on the needle. He does. His suit turns pink, and he passes out. And this is where the movie truly began, where he wakes up from being poisoned.
Yeah.
And his dad keeps telling him to blink his eyes because the temperature is falling by 5 degrees every hour.
Yeah.
Blink your eyes. Tell me you're awake. Blink your eyes. Tell me you're awake.
Really dumb. And coming up, one of my... favorite bad scenes in this movie is Jaden Smith and Will Smith then get into this conversation of how Will Smith learned to ghost.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, and they don't show it.
And they...
Yeah, I was even thinking, like, this would have been a scene
for flashback.
You should flashback to this. They have Will
or
Smith...
Or even, like, a camera with a slow push into him or something. It was pretty much a static camera.
Yeah, they have Will Smith describe this incredible fight with an Ursa where he realized that the Ursa couldn't sense him.
It had
and
no
like,
energy. Yet.
And what? This whole... I'm guaranteed this was M. Night and Will Smith sitting around going, yeah... Audiences are going to expect us to show this big action sequence. You know what? We're just going to keep it on a one shot.
Yeah.
For like a minute and a half. Theater of the mind. You know?
I would have accepted that if it was, even, like I said, just to push a nice slow push in or something to add some.
He's even describing it like. Like, oh, I saw my blood mixing with the water, and it was so pretty. And I was like, you show it then.
And
like,
this is a movie that is not afraid to do flashbacks.
Right.
In fact, we've already seen a flashback of Will Smith killing an Ursa.
And
so
one of the few, like, strengths of this movie, really, is the visual effects.
Yeah.
Like, this could have actually been a chance to make this movie a little better.
Yeah.
The next time M. Night Shyamalan is considered for a directing job, someone should have to look at this sequence and be like, no, this is the kind of choices that were being made to not, you know, that this is where they drew the line on flashbacks.
Yeah, it's like rather than the big action flashback, let's show them like singing happy birthday to the daughter. Because like, that's what we wanted to see.
You must wonder if something went wrong because they're just like, oh, let's get a one shot of you. We're going to use your audio.
Yeah.
Just in case. And then something went wrong, like, oh, shit, we got to put that in.
Yeah. So now we get a bunch of, not nonsense, but like, we get a bunch of stuff from Will Smith basically, like, just trying to say to Jaden Smith, like, you know, fear, this is the other big line of the movie, fear is not real, it's a choice.
I'm pretty sure that fear is a natural biological reaction for survival instinct.
Well, what troubled me in a lot
of this, real.
He gives a lot of like Zen sort of talk about like being in the moment and in touch with your environment, but like that's ridiculous because anyone who studied Zen would be like, no, hold on. Zen is not about saying fear doesn't exist. Zen is about your approach to the fact that you have fear and how you internally deal with that as an emotion. Like, not that it doesn't exist. Right. Like,
well, he's still, like, such an asshole through his son, to his son throughout all this. Like, at one point, I think it was after he ran away from those baboon things, and he's like, listen, you may want to die, but I don't want to. It's like, whoa, calm down now. That's your son you're talking about.
Yeah. He's 14. Yeah. He's in the freaking jungle. Like,
probably not the way to handle the situation, Will.
Yeah, ease up, abuse.
You may not want to star in this movie, but I want you to. Has that's he, what you have to read into
has
that.
He already, has he already repaired his artery with a piece of the ship here?
Yeah, he like gives himself a bypass with like a piece of plastic.
Yeah, that was really... I
they had to give him something to do, so okay. So he injects himself with painkiller, and then he does a bypass.
I don't think he did with the painkiller, because it said it causes extreme drowsiness.
So he operated on himself, replaced his artery.
Yeah.
With no painkiller.
Yeah.
I know he has no fear, but...
pain is not real. It's a choice.
Yeah.
I choose not to be.
So also at this point, the flying cameras that the ship sent out finds a bunch of the baboon bodies... brutally murdered, not just murdered, but like stacked up in like a creepy pile. And the camera is like, could be the Ursa. You know, it's like,
might be.
We're not ruling it out. The computer's like, eh.
It's the least likely option.
50-50. Yeah,
we're looking at other options, but it could be, I'm like, really? So some other animal on Earth that went out there, murdered these Ursas for no reason, and then stacked their like bodies. Cordwood. Or yeah, murdered these baboons and stacked their bodies. Yeah, I think your Ursa can be suspect number one. And so, okay, so now we get to Jaden Smith has to make it to this waterfall. And this is when Jaden Smith reveals to Will Smith that he only has, actually only has two inhalers and doesn't have four inhalers.
He tells him he has to abort mission.
Will Smith is monitoring his heart rate. So every time he says he has four, he's like, oh, his heart rate's going up. He's lying.
Again, the computers in the ship working fantastically after this crash. the wireless transmissions, all this stuff, really.
Right. The Wi-Fi is really doing a great strong job.
Yeah. And so Will Smith's like, they're setting up this challenge of like, oh, okay, well, that's it. You know, you can't do it. And then it just kind of comes up where if Jaden Smith uses his flying suit to jump off the...
he can make it.
The point, he can make it.
He can cut time off the trip.
He can cut time off the trip, and he could do it with two. But Will Smith's like, abort the mission. And I'm like, why? Why?
He's willing to push his son to almost get killed, but not to glide down the cliff.
And they would die. If they abort the mission, they are going to die.
Right.
So why did that make sense to anyone? No. Why Will Smith was
if he's going
to
die anyway, like, he might as well die trying his to
one,
save himself.
His one hope for, you know, anything, and he's like, just come back.
And Will Smith never actually explains to Jaden Smith that he can use the flying suit, right? Like that's
he figures it out on his own, I think.
He's like Will Smith doesn't even say to him, like, well, okay, we do have an option of you using the flying suit, and you might be able to do... Like, this all sort of just, like, the audience is privy to this, but I don't think either character is privy to what's going on.
Well, and my question, too, is Will Smith didn't tell him, oh, if you fly, you'll make it. So how did the kid know?
That's what I'm saying.
I think they're just trying to show that he's smart, too, and he can figure this out.
Well, I know, but my other question, too, has always been...
Well, he's always been through... He's already been through.
How does he even know where to tell... How does he know where he's going?
I at one point, they sort of imply that he's loaded information.
Well, he loses that.
Exactly. That's where, that's where this movie stops. Well,
right. He loses that thing, and he's like still walking around.
But he remembers, though, because later on he draws the map on the cave wall.
That's right. Yeah.
Oh. That really he's got it in his head.
I'm going to give M. Night Shyamalan some credit that it did not have the twist ending, that this was the past.
Well, no shit, because it's freaking basic.
Well, that's what I'm saying. This is a basic low.
That would have been better, but at the same time, with Shyamalan and his stupid-ass twists, I was like, this is going to be Earth in the past. I know it. It's going to be Earth in the past, and then it wasn't. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, this is the lowest of low-hanging fruit. I mean, there is... The bar is so low.
Yeah.
You know, this is almost like bowling when they have those things in that cover up the gutters where you're like,
the bumpers.
How bad can things be? The bumpers, like, how bad can this be? Yeah. You know, like, we
minimum,
can't.
Minimum, I'm going to
hit a pin.
Yeah,
we're going to hit a pin.
The level of risk here is pretty nil.
So, yeah, he jumps off the... Well, they fight, first off, because he's like, come back. And
so
Jane's
the worst,
like,
worst fighting ever.
It's your fault that my sister died.
Yeah. Oh, this whole, and I don't know where this came from, because Will Smith is saying... hey, just come back. You don't have enough to make it. And then
you're
Jane,
my son, and
Jane
I want
starts
you to die.
Going off and like, what do you expect me to do? How was I supposed to save her? And it's like, who's talking about
it? Where did he come from?
Well, we have to talk about that. So Will Smith
where
essentially blames Jaden Smith for his sister being killed by the Ursa. There's so many problems.
You got to read this
he
yourself.
He was small
basically.
Enough that he fit into a terrarium. Right. What was he gonna do? Right. What you know, and then. I mean, he was like a little kid in these flashbacks. It's not even like Jaden Smith is playing them.
It's
in
like
the flashback.
Grown men
it's a
are getting killed
actor.
By these things who have weapons.
Yeah. Yeah. Like so,
you did nothing.
So and then so and I don't know. Jaden Smith has some line where he's like, you know, you're blaming me for you know my sister's death, and then Will Smith's like, what do you think you should have done? Like all passive aggressive right. about it, and I'm like, what a jerk! Like what could this kid have done?
Yeah. Instead of saying, hi, there's nothing you could have done. Nothing you could have do. He's like, well, what do you think you should have done?
He was so, yeah, this was like next level passive aggressiveness. Yeah. Yeah. And like,
he's such
yeah.
an asshole in this movie.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't have cared if he had died.
He keeps turning it up. Oh, yeah, yeah. Like, yeah. Will Smith's awful.
So he's yelling at him. He goes, I'm not a coward. You're a coward. And then he jumps off the waterfall. Yeah. And he's just gliding around. Now his smart suit is a. Like a squirrel suit.
Yeah, it looks like a flying squirrel.
And this
yeah,
reminded me. What did this remind every? I'm hoping this reminded
like,
me.
Like Aang
Super
in
Mario
Last Airbender.
And Airbender.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh yeah, yeah,
like
yeah,
the
yeah.
convenient flying suit. You're like, oh, and we have flying suits.
Yeah.
You know.
Until the pterodactyl comes.
Well, I think it's just a hawk.
Like that's a pretty damn big guy.
It's an evolved.
He's like an eagle.
It's an evolved. Yeah, it's an eagle.
Yeah.
So an eagle or some kind of big bird.
Some big ass bird. Yeah.
Starts following Jaden Smith, and we get like a pointless sort of chase sequence. It's like very pod race-ish, and like it just means
yeah,
nothing.
The camera gets smashed.
Yeah.
So Will Smith can't track him anymore, and then he wakes up in a nest.
He does.
That's literally it. As you just described it, that's the
that's
time
how it goes
frame.
Out. He wakes yeah, up in a nest with a tiny bird nibbling on his ear.
And then some saber-toothed tiger shows up at the nest.
Yeah.
Why did the bird take him to the nest? Were they like planning on feeding him to the babies or
this does not make sense and
it,
this
doesn't
is never...
make sense especially what happens afterwards with the damn bird too
oh this none yeah. of this adds up so,
well, that's
yeah.
why I still wasn't sure whether it was planning on eating him or if it was saving
him
like
I don't know
treating
I don't
him
like
know.
One of the
yeah
I don't know
so he wakes up in the nest and like
it recognized a child who had fallen from the nest so it took him back to its own nest
I don't know it's just like oh this thing flies I'll bring it to my nest I don't. So saber-toothed tigers start attacking, and Jaden Smith.
Well, Jaden Smith has like a perfect opportunity to leave because the tiger has no interest in him. He's like he looks at him, then is going for the birds, and then he pulls out his katana and starts fighting these tigers.
Fighting the tigers,
and somehow gets you know beats
like Home Alone.
He finds out that the base
like
of the nest
traps.
Is soft,
has nothing
so he
to
jumps
do with
out
anything.
Of the way and
he
falls.
Does right. He's working with a bird to fight these tigers. And, oh, by the way, saves 0.0
yeah,
baby birds.
All
the baby birds are killed.
Yep.
He does not help, really, like, in the end result at all. But they scare off a bunch
the
of tigers.
Tigers. He's like, stop eating him!
Yeah. Well, and he's
like,
got
why
this,
do you care?
He's got, like, this yeah. super katana, too, and he doesn't, like, stab any of the tigers. Like, he, like, pushes them out of the thing, and then that one, he, like... pushes through the floor.
That's what I mean.
Like,
he like Home
like,
Alone them.
Why so just, like,
he basically
them.
Tricks one into essentially jumping out
yeah.
of the nest. Like,
into a hole.
Yeah. And then, okay, so then.
It had nothing to do with
it had nothing to do with
none
anything.
None of this does.
None
nothing.
Of it to do
then
yeah.
he gets down somehow and then he runs away.
Yeah.
And then they show the bird a couple more
the
times.
Sad.
Chasing him. He's like, leave me alone!
Yeah.
He's like, what the?
But he also there was also that awkward scene where he gets down from the nest and he sees the bird mourning its like young.
Yeah.
And I wasn't sure what it was like. He kind of like started walking towards him with his
right.
spear and everything, and then he just like left.
Right.
Like, what was he doing?
I'm naughty.
Yeah.
It's like he was just kind of like it was almost just like a scene where like a scene that shouldn't have been in the movie. But it was just like Jaden Smith just like, oh, it's interesting. Okay, guess I'll move on.
I think they realized, by the way, that there is only one character in this movie that has an arc.
The bird.
And I would say it's the bird.
Yeah.
I really would say the bird.
I felt for the bird. Basically.
Yeah, the bird undergoes more change in this movie than any other character.
Yeah, if they make a sequel, I would want the bird to be the main character.
No, I can't now.
Yeah, I can't, yeah. Unfortunately. The bird actually had a natural arc.
Yeah,
yeah.
Sure.
So
maybe one of the babies survived.
So Jaden Smith goes and makes some cave drawings of his map for where he needs to go.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand how that would have helped him.
Back to like
Well, he was just in a cave where there were ancient cave paintings.
Yeah, yeah.
Which led me to believe, oh no, did he paint yeah. those cave paintings? Is this millions of years ago? Yeah. Is this going to be your obvious twist?
Where would those paintings have been from? Because it's been about 1,000 years since.
So long, yeah.
They're the cave paintings ago. That already exist now, like from prehistoric times.
Yeah.
So that's what we're saying.
They're just still there.
So we're saying that those paintings are potentially at this point
like
3,000 years old.
Oh, yeah. They last that long.
Okay.
Now, that didn't bother me. My thought was that...
You're actually like, I'm on board with that. That's cool.
I can deal with that.
If a cave... No, I'm dead serious. Most of those cave paintings are hundreds of thousands of years old. Why not last 1,000 more years? That's not far-fetched. My fear was that... M. Night Shyamalan has, obviously, a history of creating... obvious twist endings and acting like he pulled a fast one on you, and that's why his movies are so mysterious and awesome.
Yeah.
So obviously this movie did the opposite and went completely vanilla, but I was expecting this to be they crash land on Earth and it's Earth before man, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's what I thought the cave painting was there. I was like, oh no, if he drew that thing. You know,
see, honestly, I wasn't expecting a twist at all. I thought it was pretty clear what the ending was going to be.
I was within two minutes of this.
I'm always thinking he's trying.
And the best part of watching this is the expectations you have from the first 2 minutes are exactly what you get.
Yeah.
This is with nothing more elaborate. Yeah.
It is quite vanilla.
So somehow making a cave drawing helps him, even though he can't take the cave drawing with him.
How did that help?
I don't know how that helped.
He was like, hog hole. Bird's nest, just like in a linear line. It's like
I was. It was more like
tail question mark.
It did. It felt more like his own journal. Like I was in a hog hole. Then some bird got.
Like, how does that help him know? So he wrote where he's been. How does that help him know where something is that he's never been before?
And why is his dad all of a sudden not?
Like, I could write a map like TV studio home, but if I had to get to like Russia.
Yeah.
It doesn't help me by writing Russia after that. Oh, it's to the right. Okay.
And not to mention that even if he had previous knowledge of the map, clearly this bird took him to some nest that was not on his map.
He was knocked unconscious.
That's true. He was taking him 50 miles away.
The bird's like, where are you going next?
I didn't think about that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
So dumb. So.
Excuse me, Mr. Bird. Can you... give me kind of a come into this cave real quickly and scratch out with your claws where you took me.
So he just starts walking around like Michael Myers traveling back to Haddonfield in Halloween 2, just stumbling.
No. Right. This is where he builds a raft. Are we there?
Yes.
He builds a raft and then he has a dream where he talks to his sister.
Oh my God.
He has an argument in a dream with his dead sister.
Yep. Yeah.
It
turns into a zombie.
I'm reading Moby
Dick.
And
then he quotes Moby Dick.
I'm holding it for myself. What do you mean? Moby Dick. Oh.
Who's?
They keep going back to the penis joke.
If they had made a call back to that, I would have laughed at it.
That would have been awesome.
And then we found out Will Smith wasn't kidding. Earth's temperatures really do vary. Like,
he's 20 feet over, like, away from summer and snow. He's completely, there's like 20 feet.
Well, and you can see all the plants freezing over, and it's like, I'm pretty sure those plants would not survive through that.
I can't imagine like a tropical rainforest surviving an ice age every evening. Right.
And then
he lays down to slowly die.
Yeah, and his suit turns blue because he's cold.
So he passes out and he freezes over. And then you just see him start being dragged away.
Okay. The POV shot.
For like a 30-second POV shot of just him.
At first I was like, oh, are the cameras back up?
Yeah.
I didn't know what was happening.
Yeah.
And then he wakes up.
It was such an odd shot.
The dumbest thing in the world.
Why would you have that POV shot?
Yeah.
Like,
why would you put that in the movie?
From like that one scene where he gets like hit by the hawk and he wakes up in a nest, but now suddenly we have to show him POV style getting dragged somewhere.
He's not even seeing it. He's unconscious, so it's like, what's the POV of?
It's a bird's foot POV.
Maybe it's from the camera on his back.
The bird has a camera on it.
Yeah.
So he wakes up and he's under some brush and everything, and
which apparently is one of the hot zones.
Yeah, right. I guess that kept.
He's about 20 feet
like
away.
The hot zone is literally like
or well, is it with, just
like,
cover
with like some shrub covering the outside area?
No, no, I don't think it's a hot tub.
No, he was under the. He crawls out from under the bird.
Yeah,
the bird.
Oh, he was under the bird.
He was under the bird.
Oh, I didn't know he was under the bird. I thought
the bird just dragged him and then just died.
And I thought they smelled bad on the outside.
I think it. Okay, let's start a few seconds ago so we can.
Oh, he was under the bird.
Yeah, so he crawls out. He crawls out from under the bird, and he's like, "Oh, thank you." And then,
no, he doesn't even say it like that. This is the best line in the movie. He crawls out from under a bird, which kept him alive in the hot dog. She's like, "Hey, thanks." He says it like that. I laughed for like 15 seconds. I had to pause it because I was laughing. Like, really? Hey, thanks.
The funny part is the bird was still like kind of alive at that point because he kind of saw it move its head. Yeah. Like, how disappointing that must have been for the bird. Like, its last dying moments. It made this big sacrifice thinking like, Jaden Smith's gonna do something heroic. And he's like, thanks. He's
Some dumbass kid is like, some dumbass kid's like, hey, thanks.
Yeah. And I'm gonna die now.
And then the bird dies.
Why'd the bird sacrifice itself for?
I don't know.
For me. Yeah, for him. Like the whole bird thing makes no sense.
It's like, thanks a lot, Jaden Smith. You let all my baby birds die.
Yeah, you saved zero baby birds, but I'm endeared at your half-hearted efforts. And the fact that you really wanted to get out of and away from me as fast as you could, so I saved you and died. Doesn't make sense. But, again, closest thing this movie has to a character arc.
Yeah, I really did feel the worst for the bird.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Any of this. Yeah.
It's terrible.
It was.
That's terrible.
So then he just finds the tail. Note,
yeah, finds the tail.
Magically finds the tail.
He's just like, oh, there it is. And
Jaden Smith got him some tail. Yeah.
So he gets some new breathing
He's about ready to die because he can't breathe. Then he
just in time finds him.
Yeah.
Which aren't broken.
I didn't think it was going to happen. I was like, uh-oh.
His canisters get broken running from some baboons, and those canisters are completely intact after crash landing.
Which is why the canisters make no sense. Oh, I'll just fill up on more.
And the tail section, just to note this, the tail section appears to be even more damaged than the section that Will Smith and his dad are in. Which is even funnier when he then is like, hey, this beacon is good and ready to go. This one's fine.
Thank God that one's okay.
Yeah. And I love how the rest of this climax is just like, it's like Jaden Smith looking for a cell phone signal. No bars here.
It was like a Verizon
runs over.
Commercial.
No bars here, then it runs over. No bars here.
Well, so, and now he is a new communicator, too.
And then he, like, throws it on the ground, too, which is, like...
Yeah.
Protect it a little bit.
He can't get a signal for the reserve beacon, so he spazzes out.
Yeah.
And Will Smith is kind of like, bad cell phone signal or something.
Right, yeah.
And he's trying to be like, hey, take a knee, chill it out. And my note I'm like, we're an hour 20 into this movie and there's been zero character development. Jaden Smith's character is at the exact
still
same place
out,
he
right.
was in the beginning of the movie.
Right.
Will Smith's character is at the exact same place he was at the beginning of the movie.
Literally.
Nothing has changed.
No, right. Not at all.
Yeah.
And Will Smith then like proceeds to continually giving his son advice even though they don't have an audio connection anymore.
And he suggests that he goes to a volcano that's in the process of erupting.
Which seems like a terrible idea.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
Will Smith just starts...
He's okay with his son climbing a active volcano that's spewing molten lava, but, you better not jump off that little waterfall.
Yeah.
Why don't you come on back and we'll both die? But the volcano, that's okay.
Yeah. At this point, Will Smith's character just becomes... Will Smith is playing... cutaway. I just refer to all of them as just
There's that one sequence where they just keep cutting to him and he's just like
just him
like Will Smith's like eyelids are like fluttering. He's like he's about to pass out.
Right.
Yeah. And again, important to note, they now have 3D mapping of the volcano that Jaden Smith is climbing.
That's right.
You know,
yep.
Including the interior of the volcano. So there is plenty of radar in this world. M. Night, just not when characters would actually need it.
And this is the part where the Ursa.
So yeah, the Ursa catches up with him.
And which, according to the radar, the Ursa is like rapidly catching him,
it's like right
and yet
on.
Like 10 minutes go by in the movie where it still hasn't found him. Like, what is it doing? Well, I guess it's blind.
Yeah. And he's petrified though. It's smelling his pheromones. It's obvious he's scared.
Could Jaden Smith have looked more scared in those? Like in a scene in which.
Oh, no.
Your one objective is to not be scared because the only way that creature can find you is if you're scared. I don't think Jaden Smith could have looked more scared in those scenes.
Oh, yeah.
He was practically peeing his pants.
Yeah.
And what would happen if one of these creatures accidentally bumped into you? Would it then kill you? Or would it not kill
you? I guess if
you
weren't startled by it, it would just be like,
Oh, but this whole thing I has bumped into no something, but I can't movement. See it. No, the whole thing is lifeless. Oh, even this part. Even this part was supposed to be like the climax of it all. You're like, it's so dull. And
it was really like a big Verizon commercial. Can you hear me now?
It's like, yeah, there's no rhythm. There's no editing, it's like rhythm.
Nothing. No energy at all. Yeah. The whole thing.
One of my also pet peeves of, like, people do this in real life, but I thought it was funny in this movie too. Like, when you're like standing trying to get reception, holding your arm up, hold it up 6 inches isn't going to do anything.
Yeah.
When is that? Has that ever successfully happened? Have you ever like not been able to get signal and be like, oh wait, let me hold my phone up? Now, which really doesn't make any sense too.
How do
like,
you to talk to the person exactly. once they get their signal?
What are you going
to
go up on a ladder then?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like all this like advanced technology, like yes, that's going to make the difference. Hold the thing up a foot higher.
So let's talk.
You're trying to reach a place billions of miles away. One foot's going to clinch it for you.
That's going
to
get it. I want to talk about this final sequence because I have an alternate take on what's happening in this final sequence from what the movie is presenting it as. So the Ursa catches up to Jaden Smith. I don't even think we have to get into it. There's kind of like a stupid fight scene where basically the Ursa is kicking Jaden Smith's butt, throws him like kind of across the volcano. Jaden Smith's like virtually, you know, kind of knocked out. We then get like a, it's not a flashback. All of a sudden, it's an audio cue of Will Smith giving him Zen advice.
From earlier in the movie.
Yeah.
Earlier in the movie.
And then his dead sister says, get out of the bubble.
Yeah. And then the Ursa
is a metaphor for release your fear.
Release your
fear. And then he's not scared anymore.
Or, well, and then the Ursa is walking directly over him.
He chose not to be scared. He just happened on the spot.
Yeah, and the Ursa's walking over him and he realizes the Ursa can't see him, so he busts out his terrible two-sided sword and starts like hacking away at the Ursa.
You're gonna be cool right now, like a machine gun.
Yeah. Well, he's. You know what this is? This world is kind of like the Green Lantern world, where you just don't have the technology you really want, but you have weird things like
you have more advanced technology for things you don't really need, but you don't have basic technology for actual necessities.
Yeah, like if this kid had a giant boxing glove, I'm sure he would have loved to punch the Ursa into a hole.
He would have made a roller coaster that would have taken the Ursa off the volcano and
flushed it down a giant toilet.
Yeah. So, and we also get the worst shot of a human riding a CGI monster since Attack of the Clones.
Yeah.
With Anakin on that thing.
Yeah.
This did not. There are good effects in this movie. That shot was not good.
Yeah, that was bad.
No.
Not good.
What's your alternate theory?
Okay, so this, in this, the way the movie presents it as that, you know, when Jaden Smith, you know, he thinks of this Zen advice and then he's like, I can let go of my fear and I can ghost. Okay. If you watch the movie with the audio off, this scene with the audio off, the Ursa throws Jaden Smith across the volcano. He gets knocked out. I think he's just so groggy. He's like, where? Where am I?
It's like when you wake up in the nest. Yeah, woke up in the nest.
Yeah, there's an Ursa walking above me. I'm so knocked out, I'm not even afraid. I'm so groggy and, like, not conscious from getting my butt handed to me that I'm not, like, capable of being afraid because I don't know where I am. And then he's like, oh, I'm not afraid. All right, if I just don't do anything different, it won't be able to see me. Like, I don't know if he went Zen or if he just was like, I think I've got a concussion.
They found the trick to defeating the Ursas was just to get really drunk.
Yeah. Well, this is my theory. I'm like, when this movie was over, did anyone have any confidence that Jaden Smith could do this again?
No.
Yeah.
Because even in the end, he's like, I don't want to do it.
Yeah. His answer, if he was in another fight with an Ursa, he'd say to someone like, quick, knock me out. Knock me out. Because when I'm really groggy and not all there is when I can do this.
Yeah.
Give me a lot of painkillers.
So that's the thing. So in the end, I mean, again, character-wise, I don't think anybody changed.
I don't think anyone's different. I
might even argue that maybe Jaden Smith now is more like his father. So he's going
to
be more
No,
like
he's not because he says he wants to go work with mom.
Well, it's true, but I mean, he's a ghoster now.
Well, yeah, but even his father didn't like get up off when he said, stand me up in that great callback. He didn't like stand me up and then go give his son a hug. He saluted him.
He
like,
gave him a salute.
Yeah, the son had to give him the hug.
Yeah.
At the end
like,
of the movie,
I was like, really?
At the end of the movie, the dad is still emotionally detached and Jaden Smith
treating him like a cadet.
Yeah, is still
Yeah, the son had to go up and hug. Like, if Jaden Smith had just like saluted him back, like that would have been it.
Yeah.
Like, he actually had to initiate the hug.
Right. Yeah.
Like, oh my God.
And then we get like sort of like the kind of humor that only can exist in M. Night Shyamalan's mind of, you know, Jaden Smith having the line of like, Dad, I want to work with Mom. Dad's like, oh, me too.
Directed by Anna Trump.
Well, we get one last final stupid zinger. So the rescue ship... they get rescued, they're working, that's where you get this callback where Will Smith, says to these technicians, stand me up, and I'm like, oh God, this was all, that whole scene was in there, and so an hour and 30 minutes later, we'd
as if, that scene had enhanced meaning after seeing the scene before.
Yeah. So the rescue technicians, they're on this spaceship, they're gonna, everyone's okay, they're gonna bring them back to their other planet that they destroyed, they're in the process of destroying or whatever. Why would the rescue ship, which is clearly already taken off from Earth and headed towards the, galaxy, why is it in the final shot of the movie skimming 20 feet over the ocean? Why would you do that?
With the whale.
Why would you
whales.
Do that? Yep.
I think they got that the scene point of from that? Prometheus.
Yeah. Yeah. Why would you be
I think he's supposed to be showing that.
I felt like it was Star Trek 4 for a second there.
Yeah.
What I think it was supposed to be showing that maybe the Earth is better off without us.
I don't know.
The whales can now sing.
Because if I'm the captain, I'd be like, this is a spaceship.
The whales can now sing.
Yeah. No, the whales are free to sing now.
The whales will not be silenced anymore.
That's right.
Just a little last blast of dumbness.
Yep,
definitely.
Well, my whole thing, too, was why did this have to be Earth? Like an abandoned Earth, because it was never at no point was it
like,
it's not like
they
Earth.
Ran into the Statue of Liberty,
right? Ruins. Yeah, there was no ruined cities or anything, which I thought would have been cool.
There was maybe the Hoover Dam in that one scene,
there was something, there was some kind of structure there,
I even was thinking that when we were watching it, I agree with you, if you're gonna have it be on Earth, why not take advantage and have some monuments. Be some sort of, play some part in the movie. It was just forest.
An actual message, an actual message there. Because basically, apart from the window dressing, there was no message to this being Earth.
Well, and I was confused by that too, because it's only 1,000 years. I mean, which is 1,000 years. But if you, Jack does have a point. You have things like the pyramids.
Yeah.
Right.
Those things don't just melt. You would probably 1,000 years later still have remnants.
I guess
if
there's
remnants.
An ice age every night.
Oh, that is true. There is an ice age. There's a nightly ice age.
Deteriorate things pretty easily.
Yeah. I forgot about that. So here's our So Wrong It's Right question. Some of you, if you know the answer to this, if anyone here knows this, I meant to prep you before the show, but I didn't. Recently, Quentin Tarantino came out with his kind of early best films of 2013 list. A movie we have done on this show is on Quentin Tarantino's Best of 2013 list. Is it
Best of 2013.
Red Dawn, Lone Ranger, RIPD, or After Earth? This is on his top 10
Lone
films.
Ranger popped into my head.
Who wants to take a stab?
Red Dawn.
I'll say Lone Ranger because it popped into my head.
Ranger popped in my head too, but I'm thinking... Red Dawn has more violence. He likes violence.
Yep. Red Dawn, I'm going to
say. Red Dawn.
All right, you going with Red Dawn? Brian, contemplating, pondering.
So it wasn't the paper boy then.
If I'm the guy from the beginning of After Earth, I'd be doing play-by-play. Brian, thinking it over. Pheromones coming out. Sweat forming. Yeah.
I'll go. Oh, man. All right, I'm going to go with RIPD.
RIPD, okay. Cody is the winner. It was Lone Ranger. It was Lone Ranger, which I'm not defending his choice, but I thought back to you. Quentin Tarantino has also admitted to liking the Kevin Costner Wyatt Earp movie, which is an awful, awful movie. So I think Tarantino just has a fondness for Westerns that must have kind of come through.
Wow. Yeah. And he did just do Django, too.
Yeah.
Well, what I was thinking was, because I read that Quentin Tarantino originally offered the Django role to Will Smith, and he turned it down to do After Earth in what might
also
be
true.
The
yeah,
worst
that's
career
true.
Decision of all time.
Yeah.
So I was thinking, well, he couldn't, he could probably isn't going to say After Earth because he probably in some ways doesn't really like that movie because of what went down.
But, yeah. Imagine. Oh, that's a good point, too. Imagine if you're Will Smith and you're Django, one of the most acclaimed movies of the year, then you're in After Earth for... Yeah,
I mean, he made the. It's not even he read Django and he knew he had After Earth on the horizon, and he knew what the script was. He read After Earth and thought
that it's his story. Would be...
Yeah.
He came well, up. No,
he came up. Yeah. He came
there
up.
Was yeah. a place for his son in Django Unchained. Therefore, he took the after.
Well, I had also, well, I heard, I had also well, read I... that he didn't want to do Django because he wanted to be like the main.
When he didn't want, he thought movie. It'd be demeaning, I think, to play a slave too. I heard.
He Maybe yeah, but I think he wanted. If he was going to do it, he wanted it to be like Django was like the hero. I think of the movie.
He didn't like the Except idea. Except he did play like Bagger Vance,
which yeah. wasn't exactly the most.
I think in the original way they were putting it together
was the best role for an African American.
Will Smith was going to be the Jamie Foxx role, and I think Jaden Smith was going to be the Samuel L. Jackson role. It was going to be really weird.
Oh, yeah.
I think it was a weird take on the material.
It was.
By the way, for father and
son. To know each other, because that's my dad.
Yeah.
We're a father and son team playing a father and son.
Yeah, that was bad.
Wow, that was no chemistry there whatsoever between those two.
I feel bad. Jack and I'm
with Alex. I think that was like an inside look at what life was like in the Will Smith household.
Yeah. It's a documentary of your family vacation.
A controlling father forces his son into the wilderness to make him prove he's a man. A popular actor puts his son in a starring role and then is there in the background overshadowing him.
I also read today that apparently this movie started out as a movie about a father and son like going camping.
Yeah.
And getting like the father gets caught like under a truck or something and the son has to go out and find
Which would have been such a more compelling movie.
Right. It would have been more grounded in reality, a more human story. Yeah.
They looked at it and said, "Oh, there might be something here," so they turned it into like a sci-fi like stupid.
Oh god, that's even worse. Yeah, that makes me hate this even more.
Yeah, and the title, why is it called After Earth? Because it takes place there.
Well, the original title was 1000 AE, which is 1000 After Earth, I guess. Right. So they just called it After Earth. Yeah.
Well, Jack and I were talking, and I do sort of believe this. I don't think Jaden Smith is good in this movie, but I feel for him because he's not – like, his part is terrible. Like,
yeah, it is.
You know, he's
it is.
Just by himself the whole movie talking to a cutaway Will Smith.
Right.
Who isn't really giving much back to him.
He's got no one to work with. He's just in front of a green screen.
And the worst material in the script is dumped on Jaden Smith for the most part, oh, yeah. I think. I mean, you know, like – some of the really terrible, terrible moments are forced onto him due to the nature of the story.
Right.
Yeah, this is bad. But I'm saying this only because it's the stakes are so low and this is so not ambitious. I think this is M. Night Shyamalan's best movie since Unbreakable.
Which is funny because he had nothing really to do with
it. I thought Devil was better. Devil was a lot better than this.
He produced that.
Yeah.
He only produced that.
Yeah. And I hated this movie. I thought it was terrible.
Yeah,
but
I think
it's a
good movie.
Yeah.
Wait, Signs was after Unbreakable, right?
Yeah, I hate
Signs. Oh, I think Signs was better than After Earth.
Signs are much better than After Earth.
Well, maybe.
I think
I would have watched Signs before.
I guess. All right.
Though it was a worse movie, though it was a worse movie than After Earth in many ways, I thought that The Happening was more entertaining from a so bad.
Oh,
yeah,
it
was more entertaining.
Oh, I definitely agree. I definitely agree. From a so bad it's good perspective, Happening is way better than this.
Yeah,
of course, because it's a good movie.
Not a good movie.
We shouldn't open that up.
Coming up in the show, we're gonna have to do The Village at some point.
I've not seen The Village since I almost walked out of the theater.
Yeah,
I gotta see it because it's bad.
It's bad. Yeah, I haven't seen The Village since I wanted to throw rotten like vegetables at the screen in a movie theater. Yeah. I don't know if that actually happens.
Do you bring them with you?
I don't know. You always kind of see that when they make fun of movies. And I'm like, where are the vegetables coming from? Is that the concession stand?
And are people buying them rotten? Are they fresh and letting them rot?
Are they bringing the vegetables, being like, I'm going to have this with me in case I need to throw it at a screen? Because then if the movie's good, you're like, I got to take these rotten vegetables home.
Yeah, now I just have like rotten vegetables.
Yeah, you got to buy them 2 weeks ahead of time, too.
Yeah, you really have to plan ahead.
Yeah, I don't know. That doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
And as always, to wrap it up, you can be our friend on Facebook. Stop the Movie. I Want to Get Out. Great episode recaps and screen grabs. Mm-hmm. I say there are two things in my life that make me laugh every time they come out. Those are the episode recaps written by Cody and the screen grabs by Jack. They have. I've never had one not make me laugh on those. And
two witty fellows.
Very witty.
Two witty souls.
I'll be curious to see what the screen grabs are from this one.
Really nothing.
It was hard.
I bet this is a tricky one.
Yeah, it's really nothing really, yeah.
Yeah, this is not as visually stupid as some of the other movies we do.
Well, I think you definitely need a shot of Jaden Smith looking like he's peeing his pants at the end.
Yeah, maybe that one. Yeah.
Will Smith, like, with his eyes half open.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, like stoned Will Smith. Yeah. And you can follow most of us on Twitter. Sorry,
on Facebook.
And on Facebook.
And Pinterest.
And
Pinterest.
Wait till we move into the Pinterest world.
We're gonna start making brownies.
Page? I'm gonna put Andy. Andy's gonna be in charge of our Pinterest page. Did you? What about Tumblr?
Is this on the Tumblr.
No. What's Tumblr, Andy?
I don't know. I hear the kids talk about it though.
How are you even? Do you even know that what a microphone is?
Andy used it as a Kleenex earlier.
I don't know. How about Tumblr? Yeah, we should have a blog.
Yeah,
it's big with the kids. Great idea. It's big with the kids.
Yeah,
the Tumblr.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
the Tumblr is huge.
Yeah.
Anyway,
let's start a weblog.
Yeah.
Okay.
Can we have an internet bulletin board? Yeah.
I got the MySpace page ready to go.
No. I'm asking if we can have a... What? No. What?
No.
Yeah. Tumblr is a totally current reference that everyone would
right,
get.
Right, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. That's cutting edge stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not like I'm talking about 8-track or anything.
Yeah. No, you're not talking about the 8-track of the internet world at all.
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
No.
Yeah. So anyway, back to Twitter and other modern social media tools. Jack at Jack Estabrook.
Yes.
Cody at...
Cody A. Wolf.
Randy Andy Wolf.
Randy like the wolf.
Andy.
Sign is a sound. He's on the prowl.
He's on the hunt. He's after followers.
And you can follow the show at @windupfilms on Twitter. We should have a Pinterest, which I think would be like Andy. Be if awesome. Andy could pick our Pinterest, it'd be like pictures like Robin Tunney and Tom Atkins. It would just be like
the women of Tom Atkins.
It'll be called Tom Atkins is the man.
It would just be like we could have a whole Pinterest page. It was just atmosphere. It would be like thing like just shots of trees
blowing
and dirt.
In the room.
Yeah.
Fog. That'd be a great Pinterest page.
A whole section dedicated to the refrigerator and what it really means.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a metaphor.
Yeah. All right. So yeah, we will be back next week. As always, you can get our friend's movie King Lee now out on DVD. And Monster, if you like The Mind of Andy Wolf, you can go get Monster Mansion Memories on their Facebook page. A fantastic look at a Saturday afternoon local horror host TV show. So that is it. We'll be back here next week. All right, bye.